word of God, the Quran, revelation, true, pure, perfect revelation. When this comes into our life, it gives us a chance to have a bigger life, a more better life, a more beautiful life, and certainly a much more productive life than we had before. But is it really a new life? No, it's the same life you had before. The sign is in Jesus Christ. And most of the students of Scripture, they missed it. So Allah revealed it again, as Jesus Christ predicted it would happen. The Spirit of truth will come. So he revealed it again and gave it to Muhammad the Prophet. And the same sign that Jesus came and to show the world in the clouds of heaven and in parables. Here God brings it again in plain language. And not in the clouds of the heaven, but in the broad daylight. He brings it again. Here is a man that God chose to be his last messenger, to fill that role of the last prophet, the seal of the prophet. And this man was not called by God so that he would be made clean, sanctified, made holy, righteous, are made fit to be God's servant and messenger. He was already fit before he knew God. He was already the complete human being God wanted before he even knew of religion. He didn't know of religion proper. He didn't know Judaism. He didn't know Christianity. He knew none of those, not even the Sabian's religion. And it was in Arabia, but he didn't know it. The part that he was in, there was no Sabians. And I guess those Arabs of that area, they never were interested in that kind of thing. They were boasting in their own knowledge. And their knowledge was common sense, reasoning. If you didn't come to them at that day, then they wouldn't accept anything. Just common sense, reasoning. They didn't believe in no hereafter, life after death, nothing. They didn't believe in God the way the world of religion believed in God. And he was born among them. And they worshiped idols. They believed in the creation of their father. Whatever their father made and showed them that was a god or that had some kind of superpower, that's what they believed in. And they had 369 of those things. And had little models of them in the Kaaba. In the house that was built by Abraham, the highest man in the purity of the worship of God. He was the highest in there. And he left the house there. But they had lost it. Didn't have any knowledge of it. And they had put their false gods in there. And their little models, little things they made with their hands, crafted with their hands. And Allah chose Muhammad because Muhammad wouldn't worship any of those idols. Chose Muhammad because Muhammad wouldn't follow the ignorant behavior of his people. When they go around celebrating once a year, go around the Kaaba, the poor ones in the nude, the rich told the poor that if you join us, you have to be naked. Meaning, you don't have any knowledge. You couldn't produce no any clothes. We produce your clothes for you to wear. So they had a faint knowledge of what the Kaaba indicated or signified. They knew it signified life, human life. Human life in its origin. They knew that much, that it was a symbol of the original home of human life. And the original home of human life means the life of the baby, the life of an innocent baby. So for a society, it is a society in its innocence, in its natural goodness, before it goes to become greedy, become warmonger, or whatever. It is innocent. And Margaret Mead discovered a society, even in this time, no more than 50 years ago, I think, she discovered a society on the earth, the Tassadai, that's the name of them, Tassadai. She discovered them, and she told about them. She's a researcher, and she told about them, and she said they had no concept for crime. That's what she said. Now, in this somehow Allah, the creator of this world, let this world exist and be changed by scientific industrial man. But he missed a little spot in this last day of revelation. That little spot survives to be known in this last day of revelation. Can man have the power to change everything in his environment? Redo it, take it away from nature, whatever. The Tassadai people. So that Roman scientist, Margaret Mead, would discover them and put them in history. So it will be there for the rest of the time. It's going to be there for the rest of the time. So this is the end of time. Ain't no change coming. Nobody coming to take over this society and make it different. No. This is the biggest we can become with the brain. We can't become any bigger with the brain. We only can build more on what we have done, but we can't become any bigger than we are right now with the brain. So this is the end of time for this scene, for this run of things that God planned for, that the devil planned for also. So we're living in the finality of the miracles of Satan and the miracles of God. Nothing is coming bigger. Not as a challenge to the soul of man. No. Now, so here he has allowed this society to be hidden from this explorer who's gone all over the world looking for things untouched by him. So he can get in and touch it and see what he can change. See what he can make of it. What he can make of it. One little people survived the path of that. And Margaret Mead says, they had no concept of crime. So they're just like innocent babies born. They trust each other with everything. They don't fight each other. Naturally good. But isn't Christ Jesus a sign of that? That though he's a human being like us, in the world he's different than from the rest? Innocent, pure, want nothing but goodness for himself and others, and really put in the world to want it for others because he was born with it. He didn't have to go after it for himself. He's born with it, created with it first day. Then Muhammad comes. Here's a man as Jesus Christ as a sign in the manger with animals. In the nativity with animals. And here's Muhammad in the beginning of the new world of Islam in its nativity with animals, but unspoiled by the animals, untouched by the animals. He walked from the midst of the animals he walked and went up a mountain to get way away from the animals. So he couldn't hear a thing they were saying. He couldn't be bothered anymore with the picture of their painful behavior. And he went up in the mountain, high as he could go, and there he found a little opening. Went into that hole and cried out to the skies. He didn't know God by the name of anything. All he knew is what the idol worshipers called God. God, many cried out up there, help my soul, take this burden off of me. And God's first word to him was, read, R-E-A-D, read. And Muhammad knew that God wasn't talking about read the daily newspaper because he had been doing that. God knew that God didn't mean read a business contract, because he was not only reading business contracts, he was making them, he was writing business contracts. So God understood, Muhammad understood what God said, meant when he said, read. And Muhammad said, I can't read. He meant read my communication to man for his salvation. Muhammad said, I can't read. He never had any scriptures in his hand. He never had a priest, a monk, a holy man to teach him scripture. He couldn't read. This is in the Bible. There will come a time when there will be a famine. It will spread all over the world. There won't be a famine of food. It will be a famine of hearing the word of God. And again in the Bible it says, there will be a little book. And the people will not be able to read that book. And a man will come upon that book by chance. He will have it in his hand. And he won't be able to read it. And he'll go looking for somebody to read him this book, this strange book that he has come upon. And he goes to the first person, says, "Will you please read this for me?" And the first person says, "I'm sorry, I'm not literate. I can't read plain language." But he keeps going, and finally comes another man, and he says, "Will you please read this to me?" And the man looks at it, and he says, "It's sealed. S-E-A-L-E-D. It's locked up. It's sealed from people that don't have this kind of knowledge." But along comes one that looks like he's been slain from the foundations of the world. He's not even alive to the foundation of the world. Slain from the foundations of the world. A little lamb without spot or blemish. Not a wolf going out to kill something, sneaking in the, lurking in the shadows. Not a bear, wild bear, but a little lamb that wants nothing but to be left alone with his family. He ain't out to kill a thing. Praise be to Allah. And he comes up and he sees and he takes the book. He has to reach up for it because those that have it, they in power, they high up. Little lamb way down here on the ground with the poor and the common people. He reaches up and he grabs the book and he breaks the seal. He reads it. That was Muhammad the prophet. But he couldn't do it without God's help. That was Jesus Christ as a sign. He couldn't do it without God's help. God had to tell him more than once. Told him once, "Read." "I can't read." Told him the second time, "Read." "I can't read." First time he said, "Read," and Muhammad responded from his experience, "I can't read, I've never been educated to do this." He told him the second time, "Read," and Muhammad responded with his intellectual ability, his rational mind, his brain. And Muhammad said, "I can't read." God told him the third time, "Read." And he didn't speak from his mind. His soul began reading. His soul began to read. And his brain heard it. And his brain spoke it to men. And they wrote it down. And we have the Quran. Lord have mercy. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Lord have mercy. Woo. See what Allah blessed me with when I come to you all? See what we get when we're in good company? Woo! God Almighty. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Now, God bless Abraham to see where he wanted us to go with our lives. Abraham couldn't see it in his time. He couldn't see it. It was the time for it was too far in the distance. Abraham couldn't live to see it. But God gave it to Abraham as a vision, as a hope. And Abraham passed it on down to others and charged others to pass it on down to others. Huh? For eventually the time is going to come when you can go into this vision. And this vision is called the Promised Land. Yes. Moses wanted it, but he didn't have enough time to see it. So he appointed Joshua. Joshua, Spirit. He appointed the Holy Spirit in the people. He appointed that Holy Spirit to be responsible for carrying these people on after I'm gone. Oh, yeah. But Joshua could only fight the battle of Jericho. He couldn't live to see it either. But he did bring the walls down. Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came. And he as a sign, he was the promised land. Yeah. As a sign of the word. Pure in the world. He was the promised land. But the sign had to be read and understood. And he said, I'm doing my best to show you, but I have to go away. For if I don't go away, the comforter will not come unto you. And the comforter means the ability in you to receive this and understand it clearly. It won't come unless I pull myself out of your sight. You're looking at me and you can't see it. And isn't that the way truth is sometimes? You have to get away from it to see it. Get back up. Too close, can't see it too good. And then comes Muhammad the Prophet, fulfilling the prediction when the truth is come. Falsehood, vanishes. For surely falsehood by its own nature is a vanishing thing. Ajal haq bazaat al batil in al batil zara lahuqa. For surely falsehood by its own nature is doomed to vanish or perish. Yes, yes. So who? In essence, in purpose, in the role of fulfilling the promise of God, who is Jesus? Jesus Christ. Who is Muhammad? Jesus Christ. They're the same. And when the prophet said, there'll come a time when you're going to see Christ, Jesus, and me together. That's what he's saying. You're missing it now, and I can't tell you. But I am Jesus. I am Jesus Christ. Yes. The world missed it. The world missed it. Yes, they missed it. But he is not that Jesus Christ. He is that purpose that was in that Jesus Christ. And as a human being, he's that the same essence that was in Jesus Christ. The human essence of Jesus Christ and the human essence of Muhammad the Prophet, the same essence, one and the same. Yes? Where did the origin go back to? The first man that God made fit for the garden, Adam. And if you study the gospel of Jesus Christ, the New Testament, it will trace the genealogy of Jesus Christ back to Adam. And it says, Adam, and Adam was created by God. That's what it says. Then Allah revealed to Muhammad in the Quran to say the likeness of Jesus Christ is Adam, and he was created by God. Same thing. We don't know, that's commentary on what I just gave you from the Bible. I'm talking about I'm speaking of the scholars. I'm way down here. They way up there in Saudi Arabia and Ashhar University. They way up there. When I go over there and look at them, and I listen to what they have to say, they give me that great voice from way up there, and I come back home with the little stuff I came there with. I don't buy what they gave me from way up there. I go back home with my little baggage I came to them with. I left that big stuff right there where they were. With your big stuff. Now, you know, I know this is a challenge for many. For many of you, this is a challenge. Even for some of my good friends that love me like I love you, this is a challenge for you. Say, what are you? You can't be that. You can't be no more than those big boys, you know? He can't be in something that they ain't in or got more than they got, you know. But haven't you been put down lower than any other people on this earth? Hold up. Ain't shouting time now. Haven't you been put down as a people lower than any other people on this earth to believe you were subhuman, kin to apes and monkeys? Huh? to believe you're cursed by God just because of your color. Then the scripture says the lowest rail shall be made the highest rail. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, if that's true, then a black man from slavery history, a distant child of slaves, from the most put down race on the planet Earth, has to, if the word of God must be fulfilled, it's going to be fulfilled, has to be brought from the bottom and put on the top. If not, then God didn't tell us the truth. And I have come to know God's justice. I have come to know God's justice. Whatever God permits to happen to innocent people, and we know a lot of our poor parents weren't innocent. They were liars, thieves, whoremongers, killers of their own people. We know that. But we know they didn't look for just criminals when they brought us over here and put us in bondage. They just grabbed us. And they grabbed up the little lamb. Oh, they made a big damn mistake. They grabbed up the little lamb. And God said, you can do that to those criminals. You can do that to your people. But I will not let you do that to my worshiper. And because you mocked the whole people when you did it, I'm going to lift up the whole people in America until they are higher than anybody else in the knowledge and skills and use and performance of my word. And that has happened. That has happened already. It's just a matter of time that you respond to that great light that God has put in us and become the great people in the environment, in the material environment, that you can be just on the power of that light that is coming to the son of Elijah Muhammad. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. God knows I want nothing for myself. God knows that. God, and a few of you all know that. A few of you all know me up close. You know I want nothing for myself. I wish I had somebody else saying this and my picture was hidden. I wish Brother Shabazz or Brother Abdul Rahim, I wish anybody, or Sister Abdul Rahim, or Sister Jamila, anybody was saying this instead of me. But I don't have anybody else to say this. I want no attention to myself. I don't want you to see me at all. God knows this. I want nothing but to be left alone, to have a private life, and enjoy what my human nature created me and enjoy. And I'd be happy having somebody else be this man as a leader. God knows that. It has already happened. And believe me, people on high in the great religions of this earth, not just Christians and Jews, but there are other great religions on this earth. And they have seen what has happened in the midst of our people. They have seen how we have gone in two different ways. How some have gone for righteousness, following the way of Christianity in the church. How other blacks or African Americans have taken the way of the new Islam that came into the United States by way of the mysterious W.D. Farrar. They have studied this thing. They got more knowledge of these mysteries than you have. And they have come to the conclusion that God is performing a great work again. He's creating a people again, like he created people before. And this time, he's creating that people out of the African Americans or the blacks of America. They know that. Believe me, they know that. And they're studying and watching what they're seeing. And they are benefiting spiritually from what they're seeing. They are benefiting intellectually from what they're seeing. And they are benefiting politically from what they are seeing. You don't know what's happening. No, you don't know how great it is. They are benefiting politically from what is happening. When God puts new life into the world, that new life does not only feed the little small area God put it in, but it sends out its light and its influence to the whole world, and the whole world benefits. A great, great thing has happened in the United States of America. Yes. And believe me, I couldn't even stay with God if I didn't see what has happened in the United States of America. I would give up on religion. No Christian church could get me. And certainly, no mosque of Arabia, Egypt, anywhere. Oh, they sure couldn't get me. I'm telling you, ain't no way they could get me. I told, would you believe this little fella with no college education or degree? Oh, yeah, I have a little college education. I've been there for a little while. I got a few hours. And you believe this little fella sit over there, those big boys in Saudi Arabia? Big boys. A meeting of the top scholars. And I told them, I said, there is no way, there is no way that you all could get me to become a Muslim if I had not experienced what I experienced in America. Comes the honor of Elijah Muhammad. No appeal. You want to give me holiness? Think of that in church. You want to make the soul feel good? Oh, I'll go to the dope house. I'll feel real good. I don't need your small time drugs, the biggest drugs in the world in the United States of America. And they looked at me and you know they could say nothing? They didn't even ask me why. Because they're afraid that I'm going to hurt us the most if I had to answer a question. I'm Wallace D. Muhammad. Okay. Son of Elijah Pooh Muhammad. That's me. Now, if you saw me the way I thought, my brothers can tell you, my sisters can tell you, my friends in the street can tell you, the way I live and thought, I'm going to put on that stuff they wear for the desert in Saudi Arabia, not for the winters in Chicago. I'm going to dress like that and look and talk like them. Good God Almighty, what kind of curse God going to put on me to make me do that? The possibility is not in my natural life. God would have to put some kind of great curse on me to make me do that. God Almighty. And look how God has let things develop in the major happenings of the world. Here in Saudi Arabia, the Holy Land, our most sacred quarters, where the haram is, the sanctuary of sanctuaries for Muslims, right there in Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia became a partner of Britain and the United States with the birth of Saudi Arabia on that land that was called the Land of Arabs. Huh? It wasn't called no Saudi Arabia. That comes from Abdulaziz Saud. That's his name. So he liberated Arabia for his kind of government in life, called the revival of Islam, and stopped the people from doing un-Islamic things around the Kaaba, etc. He did do a great thing to bring the people from savagery, they were going back to savagery, to bring them from primitiveness and savagery. He did a great thing. But he's a desert man. He was nothing but a desert man. I'm talking about the first king. Nothing but a desert man. Wasn't even educated. But he had a scholar. The best scholar who started the revolution to change them from this idolatry. They were almost getting back into idolatry. The worship of spirits and stuff. To change them. His name is Wahab. Wahab. So the soldier, who was not an intellectual, just a soldier, common man, he got with the scholar, Wahab, and got the support of Britain, and the United States, and a few others, but mainly Britain and the United States, so he could get into power. Formed an agreement, a pact, with the United States in his time, and that pact passed on down to his children, the princes from him. until this time, King Fahad. Okay? And the present situation for the two nations or the two governments, Saudi Arabia and the United States, is this. Saudi Arabia is obligated to keep its friendship and agreement with the United States. And the United States is obligated to do the same with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia now depends on the United States and has depended on it for many things, even for its security. Huh? So here is the son of Elijah Muhammad. I don't know if you all can travel.